This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My name is Ashley Solis. Remember that name? I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson is my assaulter and my harasser.
In March 2021, Ashley Solis, a licensed massage therapist, filed a lawsuit against NFL player Deshaun Watson. Here's where I want to tell you that in this segment, there's going to be language pertaining to sexual assault. Solis says that Watson deliberately put his exposed penis on her hand during a massage appointment in 2020, when Watson was a quarterback with the Houston Texans. Solis is one of more than two dozen massage therapists who have described similar encounters with Watson, citing behavior that they say ranges from wildly unprofessional and lewd to coercion and sexual assault. While Watson doesn't face criminal charges, the sheer number of women coming forward with similar accounts is striking, but not apparently striking enough to deter the Cleveland Browns from signing Watson in time for the 2022 season with a $230 million deal.
I understand that you guys have a lot of questions, but with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions that I can really address at this time.
We'll repeat, none of the complaints resulted in criminal charges. Grand juries in two Texas counties declined to issue indictments, but there were other consequences, along with settlements in 23 out of 24 civil lawsuits, an 11-game suspension and a $5 million fine was imposed by the NFL for violating their personal conduct policy. That ends Sunday, when Watson is expected to return to the field as quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, facing his former team, the Houston Texans. And while the majority of the civil cases are settled, Ashley Solis's case is expected to proceed to trial. What remains unsettled is confidence in how the NFL handles allegations of misconduct or abuse. NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman spoke about the case.
Since the infamous Ray Rice case in 2014, when the former running back punched his fiancée, captured on video, the league has at times bungled its way through these cases.
Initially, Watson faced a 6-game suspension that was seen by critics as too lenient. There were calls for a full-season suspension, which the NFL apparently decided was too harsh, ultimately settling on 11 games. Consider this. The NFL just can't seem to win when it faces allegations of assault and misconduct against women. Could that be because the league hasn't been able to face its own role in these cases?
The Texans enabled him in a certain way to continue this behavior.
That's coming up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
From NPR, I'm Michelle Martin. It's Saturday, December 3rd.
I think there's a lot to learn about what consent is, the imbalance of power, how you need to act when you have power, and how you need to be thoughtful of that.
Kaylin Kaler covers the NFL for The Athletic and has reported on the Deshaun Watson case. And she says that both Houston and Cleveland bear some responsibility. Houston, in particular, could have done more to stop Watson.
They knew. They had some level of understanding that he was getting himself into situations that were putting his reputation at harm, the team's reputation at harm, the NFL's reputation at harm, and putting women in danger.
Kaler says the fact that authorities never found enough evidence to charge Watson criminally may have played a part in how the NFL handled the allegations. But after 8 years of reporting on the league, she says she's come to believe that teams often create structures around their star players that embolden them.
I've seen teams, by their behavior, just kind of like coddle their players, particularly the most talented ones, the stars. I've seen that behavior play out where they are coddling them, they are enabling them, they're almost afraid to give them that tough love or to give them the advice that they need. So I'm really not surprised that the Texans did enable Watson in his behavior, because that's sort of par for the course with what I've seen from other teams.
What, if any, responsibility the league has to guide or police the behavior of their players off the field has been a part of the discussion around the NFL and other professional sports leagues for some time now. But are there some things that we aren't talking about?
The better you become as an athlete, from being a young kid to a teenager to a college superstar and into the pros, you become more and more isolated, I believe, from reality.
That's coming up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Stearns & Foster. To Stearns & Foster, your comfort is their everything. So they've made a mattress that's irresistible inside and out. Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted. Every stitch, every layer uses the finest materials, like indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for the coziness you want with the support you need. Timeless quality for your most comfortable sleep. Stearns & Foster, what comfort should be. More at stearnsandfoster.com.
You know, there is no one storyline. I mean, in part, it's the league's difficulty in dealing with athletes as well as executives and owners who have been accused of sexual assault or sexual harassment. That's the large umbrella over all of this. The smaller bits of it are Black men who are portrayed as sexual predators.
That's Kevin Blackistone. He's a sports columnist for The Washington Post, a panelist on ESPN, and a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland. I asked him for his take on the Watson case, particularly for aspects of it that he thinks may have been overlooked or that people just don't want to talk about, which is why he started off by acknowledging that even for the media, these are difficult conversations.
It is all very, very painful and unsettling. But what do you do? Does this mean he can no longer play the game of football? Does this mean that any employee anywhere in this country who comes under the same sort of finds him or herself in the same situation can no longer be employed, can no longer go to school? It's troubling all the way around.
One of the reasons that we called you is that you often are willing to discuss things related to the sports world that other people are not. And it seems to me that there are parallel conversations going on about Deshaun Watson and others who have found themselves in similar situations. It seems that on the one hand, there's the polite conversation and there's the accepted conversation. And then there's a whole other conversation that takes place mm-hmm. within these worlds that the polite conversation doesn't include. And one of those less attractive conversations, or maybe the sort of the not polite conversation, is about the degree to which professional athletes who often are very young mm-hmm. and suddenly very rich are the target of a lot of people who want to be around them.
Yep.
And so I just, you know, and I'm just having to ask you about that. This is not to imply that these complainants are not being truthful about their experiences, but it is to say that, is there something about the world that these young men are in that allows them to think that this behavior is okay?
I think so. The better you become, or oftentimes this is the case, the better you become as an athlete, from being a young kid to a teenager to a college superstar and into the pros, you become more and more isolated, I believe, from reality. Your circle becomes tighter. It becomes a circle of people who worship you, who are your yes men and women. And I do think that that's part of the problem.
And can I ask you this? Is this a football problem? Is this a really rich young guy problem? Or is this something else?
Well, I don't think it's a football problem. I think he just happens to be a football player. I would say it has to do with masculinity and money, because we've seen this happen before with people. I mean, I think about, and this is the criminal side of it, but you think about someone like Bill Cosby, and, you know, many of us wondered the same thing that you just wondered about Bill Cosby. You know, one of the things about Deshaun Watson is when Deshaun Watson came out of college, you know, he was quite polished, you know, clean cut, good looking, well spoken guy. And, you know, talk about not judging a book by its cover. He had the cover that would make it seem as if this is not something that would even be in the possibility for him.
Which is where I think the Cosby analogy comes in, because Cosby, you know, his public reputation, America's
exactly.
Dad, the Jell-O pudding guy, lovable, yeah. Cuddly, it just is so dissonant with that. That's interesting. Do you, part of what, you know, this, you said this is sort of uncomfortable. This whole conversation is a little, not just our conversation, but the whole
right.
discussion around Deshaun Watson is uncomfortable. Why is that? I mean, why is that? Is it because he's a black man in a way that black men are continually sort of stereotyped as predatory when other people engage in similar conduct and don't? Or is it just because he's a star? What is it about it that's so uncomfortable?
It's also uncomfortable because criminal charges have not been brought against him. And that I believe all but one or two of the 24 or 25 accusers have settled out of court with him. And we know that that doesn't necessarily mean an admission of guilt, but just to make a complaint and go away.
But you're saying the sheer volume of complaints can't
absolutely.
Be ignored.
It can't be ignored. If it were one or two, then you begin to think differently yeah. about it. But if it's this many, it's very disturbing. And then the discussions just within the black community among black men who are fans of the game and believe that Deshaun Watson has been set up in some way, and point to the fact that the accuser's attorney had a relationship with the owner of the Houston Texans for whom he played, and that all of this came up at a time when Deshaun Watson and the owner were at odds over his continued employment in Houston anyway.
And I guess that's sort of the ick factor that we talk about. There's the polite conversation, and then there's the not polite conversation. And the not polite conversation
exactly.
mean is that there are people with motives other than the truth who target some of these men, and you have seen that.
I have seen that without question. And I know of women who over the years have admitted that they have targeted athletes with money for particular reasons. Absolutely. It goes on.
So forgive me, if you could wave a wand, what would you like to see happen here?
You know, I would have preferred that Deshaun Watson not be allowed to play this season. I think that that is a penalty that would have brought some measure of comfort to those who wanted the most punitive damages brought against Deshaun Watson. And going forward, I think that the league once again has to look at how it deals with this very sometimes delicate situation. I think what they should do is they should look at corporate America, which they are a huge part of, and see how other corporations deal with this. I think they need to speak with women's groups and crisis centers to see how they deal with this. And so I think that one of the things the league needs to also look at, and I think a lot of us do in whatever walk of life we're in, is try to figure out how we can fix these problems, how we can help people so that it doesn't happen again, rather than just focus on the punishment.
That is Kevin Blackstone. He is a columnist for The Washington Post. He is a panelist on ESPN, and he's a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland. Kevin Blackstone, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing these insights with us.
Thank you.
It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Michelle Martin.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up.
Yeah, you.
If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
On NPR's Throughline.
We cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.